Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our epistle text, we heard this morning of the coming of the Holy Ghost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together with one accord in one place. And the Holy Spirit's coming was accompanied by several signs. First of all, there was a rushing mighty wind that came from heaven. And the interesting thing about that is that the word for spirit and the word wind is the same word in both Hebrew and Greek. In Hebrew, it's ruach, and in Greek, it's pneuma, but both of those words mean both spirit and wind. So the Russian mighty wind points to the coming of the Holy Ghost from heaven. All right? And it says that it filled all the house where they were sitting. Where who was sitting? The disciples of Jesus, who had received the promise and had been told, "Do not leave Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high." And so the disciples waited in Jerusalem for the fulfillment of the promise which Jesus had made to them to shed forth upon them the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so the rushing mighty wind, it doesn't fall upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It falls only upon those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus in faith. And it says, "There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire." Right? And these tongues are a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit upon those who are in faith in Christ. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now what it does not say, it does not say that they all began to leap about, roll around, and babble incoherently. What it says of the Lord's disciples is that they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were speaking real languages. And they were speaking in languages that were recognizable to all of the visitors in Jerusalem who had come in for the festival of Pentecost. And there's a long list of people who came into Jerusalem for the festival, and they are confused and say, "How is it that each of us hears them speaking of the wonderful works of God in our own tongues wherein we were born?" So this speaking in tongues was not babbling. It was not some kind of incoherent, ecstatic speech. It was genuine languages enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit by which the disciples spoke the wonderful works of God. Some of the people wondered, "What does this mean?" And of course, there were those who said, "They're drunk," right? Peter gets up and he says, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." And then Peter begins to tell them, "What you're seeing here is the fulfillment of the prophecy that God gave to the prophet Joel. That in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. This promise made by God through Joel was fulfilled. The beginning of its fulfillment took place on this day as the Spirit came and fell upon the Holy Christian Church." This is the fulfillment of this last day's prophecy. And this is still taking place to this day. Wherever God's word is, wherever it is preached, wherever it is read, wherever it is in use or thought about or meditated upon, the Holy Ghost is graciously present to call us, to gather us, to enlighten us, to sanctify and keep us in the faith of Jesus. The reason why you are here today is because you have been given and are being given the gift of the Holy Ghost. And your understanding and confession of God's word is that which proceeds from the gracious gift that God has given. You know, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus thought he was giving Jesus the supreme compliment. We know that you're a teacher come from God. Because no one can do the miracles that you do unless God is with him. And, of course, that was a great thing for Nicodemus to say. It was true. As far as it went, it was true. But Jesus answers him in a very interesting way. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus is shocked. And he says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Unless a man is born of water, baptism in the Spirit, water in the Spirit, that's what baptism is, the Holy Ghost working through water to apply the promises of God in Christ to us as individuals. Jesus purchased and won it all for us on the cross, and now in the Word and sacraments, God delivers them and offers them to us, and we receive them in believing, thankful hearts." And so, Jesus says, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus is puzzled. Thanks be to God that eventually Nicodemus got the victory. All right? And Nicodemus is finally counted among those who take a stand for Jesus Christ. And God bless Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. But here, what is the first thing that Peter does? He begins to teach the people about the fulfillment of the promises of God in the prophets in the person and work of Jesus, who brings to being a new covenant, long promised, and the era of the Holy Ghost in which it is promised, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." And so he says that this is what is happening. And then he says it is all connected with that guy Jesus whom you crucified. Right? You crucified him, but God raised him from the dead and has vindicated him. And we have seen him after his resurrection. We are witnesses of these things, that God hath made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so after teaching accurately the fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament, Peter focuses the attention of the crowd upon the person and work of Jesus, who was crucified, but who is risen from the dead. And he says, "We are witnesses of these things." And the Bible says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, What are we going to do? What shall we do?" And Peter says this, listen. And remember, Peter was one who not so long ago was hiding in fear behind locked doors. Peter's not afraid of anything anymore. Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter is filled with the assurance of the risen Christ. And when they say, "What shall we do?" he says, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that a wonderful statement? They're wondering, what can we do? And he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, we are in a new era. We are in a new reality. It's called the time of grace. Right? We are in the age of the kingdom of grace. And therefore, there are certain fulfillments that are ours for the receiving and the enjoyment. And one of them is that through the sacrament of baptism, through the preaching of the gospel, and through the Lord's Supper, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. And we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is why we see the kingdom of God. And that is why we enter the kingdom of God. Because the Holy Ghost has been given, the atonement has been won, and now all of God's gracious gifts are at our disposal, and He is delighted to grant us these wonderful bounties so that my sins, which are great, are fully forgiven for Jesus' sake, and so are the sins of everyone who believes. And not only so, you have and still receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You say, but Pastor, I can't speak in tongues. And I don't have cloven tongues of fire on my head. And I don't hear the rushing mighty wind from heaven. How do I know that I have the Holy Ghost? Because you have Christ faith. You have what the Holy Ghost gives. The assurance of the grace of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. To know that your sins are forgiven. To know that you are a child of God. And to know that it is the Father's good pleasure to give the Holy Ghost to those who ask Him. This is the sign and the proof that the Holy Ghost is present among us. When our faith, like the faith of Peter here, is laser focused upon Jesus Christ. And the gifts that were won for us in Jesus Christ. And the promises fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ. And so, we who have been baptized in the name of Christ have had and do have our sins forgiven. And we who are baptized in the name of Christ have received and do receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God is not stingy. And when God gives spiritual benefit, He gives spiritual benefit without any conditions whatsoever. It always delights Him to forgive your sins. It always delights Him to give you His Spirit, to give you enlightenment, to show you things that you have yet not learned, and to reinforce them over and over again among you so that your faith ever grows stronger and stronger. This is the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were baptized. And the Bible tells us of these 3,000 people who became Christians on that day and were baptized. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. See, that also is a testimony to the presence of the Holy Ghost when we continue in the doctrine and fellowship of the apostles in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. And that's why we gather together week upon week, year upon year, so that we may be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. So rejoice today that God's Holy Ghost has been given, and that you are heirs to all these promises, and that in holy baptism you have been granted things that you could never achieve for yourself, but that God is delighted to give you. And come to the Lord's table today to have your faith in the forgiveness of sins strengthened by the body and blood of Christ and the promise given and shed for you for the remission of sins. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.